This is the Ring of Honor, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy.
This is Mr. Anderson.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Cover!
Cover!
We got
it from
the world champion!
That might be one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Knockouts and Three Counts is a podcast, baby. This is a real deal, baby.
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
What up, though? As you can see, oh shit, guess who's back? Back again. It's not Eminem. It is Devin. How the hell you doing, brother man? We told you, guess who's back? Look at the thumbnail. It's the return of Devin.
The rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. Guess who's back, bitches?
Hey, man. Andy's got the laugh and everything to go with it. Hot damn, dude. It's good to have you back on the show. Hopefully we can make this thing and get you back some more. But, man, it's great to have you back on the show. How the hell are you, man?
Man, I'm great. You know, being an adult sucks at times, man, but then it has its great moments too, man. I got a little girl now. And I grew up and finally became a father. So right now I'm just, you know, enjoying that, trying to work my way on getting back up to Detroit right now, man, so I can, you know, get this family thing going. I'm engaged as well. So things are going pretty well for me right now, man.
Hey, I like it. And your little one is hooked up like our little homie over here, thanks to Kathy and Twisted Tumblers. Your little one, I heard she got her own as well.
Yeah, shout out to Kathy, man. I got my Tumblr and the little ones, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. She's going to have her first drink out of this. Man, I can't wait to pour her some podcast juice in this Tumblr.
Hell yeah, podcast juice. Tell them about the podcast juice, man. It's like back in the day, man. It's like I said, like back in the old days, hence the Guess Who's Back title, man. But you know what we do here. We talk pro wrestling. We talk MMA. And we figured we just shoot the shit like the old days. So as you join the stream, if you're new here, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We're going to be talking AEW Full Gear. Ring the fucking bell, because it's not me going this time. Devin's going to be there.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. But I will be there. Ding, ding, ding. At Horror Slam versus GCW later tonight. So if you're in the area and you're feeling froggy, come say what up to your friends from Knockouts and Three Counts. And hey, I will be in the building for GCW Detroit to watch Uncle Chase make his fucking GCW debut in Detroit, even though he was on the GCW cards back in the summer. But here in Detroit, he's on the GCW card in a five-way, I believe. So it's going to be a crazy night for Uncle Chase. So if you're in the area, again, say what up. And Donald Holland, I know y'all are going to be there, so I got to make sure I hit you up. Ed might have what up, though, Alex? We see you in the comments. Appreciate you, kind sir. We're going to be talking some about AEW Full Gear and some predictions for that, as Devin's going to be there. I know you're newer to the show. Devin is one of the OGs of this show, the original four horsemen, as we like to say on this show. Hopefully, when he gets back here to Detroit, we'll see more of Devin on the show. But where do you want to start first, bro?
Well, before we really jump into anything, let me give a quick shout out to past guests of the show, Harry and Laura, man. I'm going to be meeting up with
them. What up, no?
Meeting up with them this weekend for... I'm about to say All Out for Full Gear, man. I'm meeting up with them, man. It's gonna be old school meetup with them, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. But
now, I think before you get off of that, though, before you get off of that, since Alex, like I said, is newer to the show and found us from YouTube, hopefully you're also subscribed to us wherever you get your podcast. But with that being said, Laura and Harry had quite the interesting story. We had them on because they got engaged in the middle of the ring at a Ring of Honor show on Being the Elite by Hangman Page, and then we're all around in the ring. He corresponded with Hangman Page, did all that, and we were at that show here in Royal Oak. So we go way back with Harry and Laura. Also, shout out to Kip and I'm drawing a blank on this girl's name on first. So here's Kieran.
It's Kieran, I think. Like it's spelled like Karen. You're
freezing up,
but
sir.
It's like. Oh, can you hear me? I'm good. Am I good?
Now I hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay. But it's spelled like Karen, but it's pronounced like hearing or something like that. It was like an odd pronunciation to it.
But, hey, I'm just glad I'm not the only one that had any issue with it. It's all good. Well, Alex in the comments, Orange Cassidy and Statlander in Chaos is awesome. All right, well, that's where we should start, I guess.
I was going to say we start off with Ring of Honor, but okay.
All right. Well, I was just saying, since he brought it up, what are your quick thoughts on Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends joining Chaos?
So, you know that door that's kind of been closed, opening up more and more and more. We've already seen New Japan talent in AEW, you know, we've seen Suzuki, we've seen Blue Guy. What's his name?
Blue Guy.
Oh, he fought Moxley. Blue Guy, old school. Why am I drawing a blank on his name right now?
Yuji Nagata.
Yuji Nagata. There you go.
Look at that. That's why you come to Knockouts Three Counts. I remember shit.
The same.
But yeah, we've seen New Japan talent in AEW, and we've seen some of the AEW talent over in New Japan. But it's more names that we want in there. We want to see Okada. We got to see Okada, and I think we're getting it because Okada, I think he's in town. He's in the United States right now, I think, or he will be soon. So I think this is just opening that door even more for some crossover matches that we definitely want to see. You know. We want Okada Omega again. We want, Brian Danielson. We want Punk over there.
Come on, man. Can't fuck his name up.
I'm going to just call him Dragon. We want Dragon over there.
That works.
And we definitely want some more of that New Japan top talent coming over to AEW, man. So I think this is just opening up that door for more of these opportunities. And, you know, shout out to Orange Cassidy, man. Like, when I first heard it, I'm like, Orange Cassidy in Chaos. It seems kind of weird, man, but I forget that Trent was affiliated with the group. So, you know, it just makes sense.
We want Okada versus Omega again. J-Bone, what up, though, homie? I'm totally down with Okada versus Omega again.
So what's your thoughts, man?
I like it. For me, I said this when all, like, you know, when this all first started, the quote unquote Forbidden Door was really kind of talked about. I am a huge fan of this because I think AEW talent going over to New Japan, it truly, look, if there's a lot, everybody says they're going to do a lot of things when a company comes out. You know, AEW said we were going to be about wins and losses and you know, the emphasis on tag team wrestling and all those things. You hear owners say a lot of things, right? But this is one thing I have to give credit to Tony Khan for, because he said that he thought wrestling was best when everybody worked together. And for them to go over there to New Japan, not only is it going to give the AEW stars more exposure, but it'll also help New Japan for when New Japan comes back to the States, whether that's in California or wherever that is. It's very interesting too, because especially with a guy like Orange Cassidy, who's not really showed a lot of emotion. You mentioned Trent Beretta had his affiliation with Chaos, but then again, this also means that if everybody that's involved in Best Friends is involved, and that means Chris Statlander too. And then think about her going over to Japan. I mean, dude, there's so many different avenues that this can go. It's kind of what makes kind of interesting. Alex in the comments,
you know what?
Statlander is the first female member of Chaos. That's a very good point too.
Let me jump in here for a second. Something that I've been thinking about in my head, something that I would love to see is I don't want this to become an AEW versus WWE thing, but I would love to see AEW kind of be like the spearhead of their own kind of WrestleMania type weekend where they partner with other companies and have their own major weekend. You know how, you know, Evolve would run a show WrestleMania weekend, or Ring of Honor would run a show WrestleMania weekend, Impact. Not necessarily affiliated with WrestleMania, but just running that same weekend in the same town. I would like to see a weekend where it's basically just the other companies. AEW has a pay-per-view maybe on a Sunday. New Japan runs a show on a Saturday. NWA has a show that Friday, but all the companies share talent with each other. So you can see Pinnacle going up against people at NWA or New Japan talent, you know, being shared back and forth just for their own weekend, just make it something big outside of WrestleMania. And I think
what pay-per-view would you to go with that? I mean, what pay-per-view would you like center that?
Maybe
around? Would it be Double or Nothing? Which one are we counting like their WrestleMania?
See, well, that's a good question. What is their WrestleMania? It's either Double or Nothing or All Out. It's one of those two. But I think if you know you could package it all together and have a NWA pay-per-view during that weekend and have New Japan run a show, like I said, and share talent amongst each other and have the convention to go with it, StarCast, you know, going during that weekend, I think it could be something, I mean, close to what WrestleMania is, man, and have it be their own, but still have AEW as the spearhead of it. Because one thing I love about AEW is that from the get-go, they said they weren't going to, you know, piggyback off of WrestleMania because they're their own company. Well, if you're going to do that, do it big. And then you can bring up the other companies as well while you're doing that.
So what about this? So here's a thought that I had when you first started laying that out. So, like, we know that AEW, a lot of the people in AEW have, like, a not association, but they work with PWG and shit like that. Obviously Excalibur, who, hey, if y'all are new here, make sure you go check out my interview with Excalibur, which actually happens to be from the last Full Gear that you could really go to with people. And since now we've done the switch through, and this time it'll be Devin there and not me. I mean, hey, go back and check that out and get yourself ready for Full Gear. But yeah, man, like, they have a lot of people that are associated with them. Namesake right now, you have Malakai Black and Brody King are the PWG Tag Team Champions. What if, you know, when you have the Battle of Los Angeles and all that shit for PWG, you know, you have a lot of your talent over there. What if you have something to where, like, the winner gets a match against somebody on the whatever the AEW pay-per-view you choose to use for that? Or whatever. Right. Or, okay, like tonight, which if any of you guys aren't watching, be ready. Tomorrow night on Fight TV GCW Detroit, past guest of the show, Uncle Chase Burnett is going to be in a five-way in that motherfucker. You got Ally Catch versus Chelsea Green going down in Detroit. Matt Cardona is going to be in this bitch. It's going to be a great time. But the reason I bring that up is because when Corey and I were in Chicago for All Out, ring the bell, they had so many different people there, and to be using, letting, put it this way, Moxley, you know, wrestling there the night before he's gonna, you know, the night before he's gonna wrestle for the AEW pay per view, and to have him wear a GCW hoodie out to the ring. I mean, dude, to me, that just shows that they're willing to work with people. Now, that being said, I still feel like Impact hasn't gotten as much shine maybe as they should with this whole thing, but
I agree.
I think that as far as like the smaller companies, he's definitely lived up to his word. I mean, I gotta imagine it's gotta be harder in some respects because the bigger companies, it's gotta be harder to go in and out. But like I say, for me, I think that would be the way to go, kind of like partner up with, you know, whenever, because, like, you know, when GCW had like the collective and there was like the weekend of shows or whatever, like if they partnered it up with something like that so that it would have like a good indie feel to it and then have like the big show at the blow off. But I don't know. That's just kind of what my thoughts are. If any of you guys are jumping in the stream, we're talking about should AEW have their own WrestleMania type weekend, and how would you structure it if so? What are your thoughts on that, bro?
And here's the other thing. You kind of brought up Impact. Word is that affiliation might be over with. You know, maybe they might do something later on. But one of the...
I mean, Don Callis was on TV yesterday.
Well, true. But one of my criticisms of the whole thing was that AEW talent wasn't really going over there. I mean, yeah, you had Christian and Kenny Omega, but for the most part, you didn't see a lot of the other talent going over there. Maybe that's because they didn't really see a storyline there for them to really fit into, or maybe Tony Khan just didn't want to send people over there. But, you know, with this idea that I had, I felt like it would open, if Impact was a part of it, it would open things up even more because you're actually working together towards, you know, a weekend where you want to bring as many people in. So yeah, you probably send more of your talent over there. But as far as like the other thing about the idea that I had, you know, having like this big weekend is you get more of your talent out there on different shows. AEW is starting to get to a point where I feel like they have a lot more talent that they have time to use. So a situation like this would give those people an opportunity to go work elsewhere so they can get on TV and, you know, perform in front of other audiences, you know, so they can still, you know, get the reps that they need and still get the AEW brand out there and, you know, cross-pollinate viewers.
I could definitely agree with that. I think, I mean, and it's something I could see happening. I mean, they just continue to grow. And I feel like as soon as they, with the continued growth, as long as they work out some of the kinks, I feel like that could be where we would head to like a weekend like that. But I agree with you in that. That's something that I've been thinking about for a while. I feel like both companies, whether you're talking about WWE or AEW, you know, they had a lot of guys. And then it's crazy how now we've gone from, it seemed like the two major companies were all full with guys. Well, then WWE just started to like purge their roster and AEW is still full. But now you've got Ring of Honor that just closed down. And then all that talent that's either out on the market or whatever, like we've already seen past guests of this show, which you can check out if you are done with this one. But Mike Bennett and his partner, Matt Taven, have already showed up over there in NWA. I mean, like, it's crazy to think. And then like our friend Shane Taylor, man, you know, where is STP going to end up? You know, I think it could be, I think that if they really, like all really ganged up in a way, like I feel like it could be a real boom in that too, because like think about a company like MLW. Like MLW is somebody who I think could really profit from all the shit that's gone down because they seem to have enough freedom to do what they're going to do there. They may not be as big of a TV deal as like a Impact or a AEW, but it's a way for these guys who all guys, girls, whoever just got let go from whether WWE, Ring of Honor, and then it gives them a platform to get put on the map. I mean, because if we're being honest, you know, one of the past guests of this show, Myron Reed, dude, they've got Myron Reed over there. Jacob Fatu that's over there is a monster. Hammerstone's a monster. Like, they've got a lot of good people over there. And I'm hoping, at least what I hope happens, is from all this stuff that's been going on, I hope companies like a MLW or an Impact or something like that will prosper from it. But who knows? Now you say that it's, you know, that the Impact relationship might be done. I mean, it's just an interesting wrinkle to really see how things play out. And I mean, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Ring of Honor. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on them closing down like that?
You know, when the pandemic first hit, one of the things that, you know I brought up a few times is that, yeah, WWE is going to be fine. And for the most part, AEW was going to be fine. Yeah, wrestling in front of nobody was going to be weird, but they'll be fine. They've got money behind them. The companies I was worried about, the PWGs, the MLWs, the Ring of Honors. Those were the companies that I was really worried about. And I hate that in a way I was right because, you know, they made it through the pandemic and they did right by their wrestlers from what I hear. They got paid through the whole pandemic with not having any fans. But it's only so long you can do that without because they were basically a touring brand. That's how they made most of their money, was touring. Right. And when you're not touring, you don't have fans coming in. Eventually, it catches up. And I hate saying it. I've had great times at Ring of Honor. I know you have too. We've gotten to know quite a few of the people over there, man. So PCO, Shane Taylor, others that have been on the show. It sucks. But what really sucks about it is that, to me, this right now, I think, is one of the big wrestling booms in the history of the genre. Now, you think about, you know, the Attitude Era, where you had ECW, WCW, and WWF running at the same time. I feel like this is that same type of situation. And for one of those companies to fall off, man, it really sucks. Because, like, right now, if there was money behind Ring of Honor right now, this would be the perfect time, because WWE is cutting people left and right. You have talent that's out there that's looking for work. So right now, it's not a talent shortage. It's a talent surplus, if anything. It's just that you need that other company in there to, you know, balance things out. So with them gone, there's even more talent out there, and you got to have to find a place for all this talent. Me personally, I think the one thing that should happen, I think it might not be the best thing for Ring of Honor, but I think for business-wise, Tony Khan needs to go buy Ring of Honor.
Go ahead.
The reason why I say that is because a lot of his talent started their careers off of Ring of Honor. And who owns the footage to the original All In? Ring of Honor owns that footage.
Not to mention, one of their best storylines they got right now, they literally have basically all but said, was started in Ring of Honor between Punk and Kingston.
So whenever you run, you need that. From a business standpoint, you need Ring of Honor's tape library. And, you know, and you get that talent roster. I would, if I was Tony Khan, I would go buy Ring of Honor, if for nothing else, the tape library. But have that roster under your control too, and their television deals, so that you can have somewhere for the, like I said, AEW has a lot of talent that they can't get on television right now. So this gives you another opportunity to have them wrestle somewhere and still get on TV and get the reps in. So I think, if anything, they need to get that tape library before Vince McMahon does. If Vince McMahon gets his hands on that tape library, you're done. As far as like any streaming service that you want to do in the future, because a lot of your talent started off in Ring of Honor, and WWE will own the rights to All In. You don't want that.
I definitely think it would be a smart move for him to try to go get the footage like that. At the same time, what's crazy is before we knew the way everything was shaken out, like, my initial thought was the biggest thing I thought that could be a profit to any of the big brands off of Ring of Honor closing down, I thought the Ring of Honor women's division would be a big help for a company like AEW. Immediately, that was my first thought. You know, if they got some of, like, Roxy, the champion they got there. I mean, she's a young talent, seems to be really picking things up as well as they go. Plus, you've got Thunder Rosa, who we sponsored the last showdown between Dave LaGreca and Thunder Rosa. And now Dave might be not only headed for a funeral, but he might have a new tattoo on his ass. So, that being said, you have the resources to, like, pick up the women's. But with a company like Ring of Honor closing, man, it always had that underground feel. And I mean, we've talked about it multiple times. Right. You know, and we've even talked about that as far as, in my personal opinion, especially with the reintroduction of the Pure Division and stuff. And hell, let's call it what it is, what we've seen from our boy Shane Taylor and Shane Taylor Promotions. I mean, dude, they've had one of the best products, I think, during the pandemic. And it just sucks because a lot of this just seems like the reason why Ring of Honor is going down is from poor, they didn't do a good enough job of pushing their stuff out there, whether that was Sinclair, whether that was Ring of Honor, whoever's in charge of that, you know, it just felt like it didn't get out there far enough. But like you said, a great product. I mean, and the last thing I'll ask you before we get off this whole Ring of Honor thing, what do you think about, you know, so they say that they're going to do this hiatus after Final Battle, and then they're going to come back in April. What do you think that looks like?
I don't know.
Anybody in the comments, feel free to chime in.
Whenever you hear, I know I've definitely heard Jim Ross use this analogy, like in order to have a wrestling company, you need two T's, television and talent. If you're letting your whole talent roster go, what do you have? Like, how is that going to work? Like, I mean, basically at the beginning of the year, everybody's pretty much gone, and you're supposed to be running a show WrestleMania weekend, but with what talent? Are you going to just go out and, you know, sign talent, you know, on a one-show basis? Well, then what do you do after that? I don't know, man. It's all weird to me. Whatever they're trying to do, I hope it works out. The one thing about Ring of Honor that I've had my kind of gripe about is, all right, let me ask you, Kyle, how do you watch Ring of Honor?
Fight TV.
Okay. If you didn't have Fight TV, how would you watch Ring of Honor?
Most likely I wouldn't, because it's hard to find, or, you know, you'd have to record it on the DVR, because I used to catch it at like 12:30 or whatever local time it was here until I figured out it was on Fight TV.
Okay. What channel?
Channel 20.
So that's what, My TV?
Yeah. My TV 20.
Okay. So here in Texas, I record the episodes on, I think it's the Stadium Network, and I think it comes on at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's kind of hard to build an audience when you're on multiple networks at weird times of the day. Like, how many people are really up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching, you know, looking forward to watching wrestling? And your right. whole audience, either a DVR or, you know, a Fight TV, My TV 20 or whatever, and it's like that all across the country. So their product was hard to find, and if you make things hard to find, you make it easy for people not to watch it. So they need a Tony Khan type person. Either it's Tony Khan or somebody else that has a lot of money who can get them a television deal, even if it's not on one of the top networks, just a network that you can stick with, like Vice with
Well, MLW. I was just, it's no funny you bring that up, because I was just going to ask, what if, like, Ring of Honor somehow, like, when they came back, they ended up, like, partnering up with, you know, an MLW or something like that? Because I think MLW getting on Vice was great, especially considering that you have the Dark Side of the Ring, which has been wildly popular. So you got people who are already watching that network. They know that network, versus, like, this is the same problem I feel like Impact has, because I love Impact. We've had, you know, Rohit Raju on here, you know, multiple people from Impact, Kongo Kong, former Impact, Jimmy Jacobs used to be an Impact. I mean, we love Impact over here, but the problem with Impact is kind of similar to what you say with Ring of Honor too. Cause even having Access TV, I don't have Access TV with mine. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can watch it on Twitch, but if you don't catch it live, it's hard to go back and find it. So I think that's the one thing that's always going to plague wrestling, is that if you don't have a visible enough TV partner, I feel like in a lot of ways it'll cause you problems. I hope that Ring of Honor is able to rebound for the sake of the wrestling business, because I feel like if Ring of Honor like fully does go out of business, like, I don't think people understand the true impact of what Ring of Honor's provided. So definitely. Like, I feel like if we lose Ring of Honor and lose that pipeline for so many of these guys and girls, I mean, dude, if you look down the roster, even at who's in WWE, we just mentioned, you know, Punk and Kingston over in AEW, the Bucks did their thing in Ring of Honor, Cody, you talk about WWE. I mean, dude, T-Bar or Donovan Dijak, fucking, I mean, dude, that's go down the list. Round. Like, you can, I know, that's what I'm saying. You literally go down the list, like literally. Ring of Honor has had a hand on so many of these talents. It's gonna be a real loss to wrestling if they don't somehow rebound, in my opinion. But again, that's why having a go ahead.
What do you think was the one or two major factors in Ring of Honor going down?
Number one, I think it's because I don't think they promoted themselves well enough. And I mean that in a broad sense too. I don't feel like they promoted themselves well, not only with, like we talked about, with the TV network they were on, you know, even when it came to like social media and stuff, like you never saw like them have that presence, like an AEW or a WWE or like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like most of the stuff you would see from Ring of Honor always seemed to come from the talent, you know? And again, this is not bashing Ring of Honor. I love Ring of Honor. They have been good to us. We've had a lot of their talent on the show. But if you're asking what I think it was that caused some of that, I think number one, it's they didn't promote themselves very well. And number two, I think the thing that has caused this is the fact that they never were able to get fans back into the arena. And I say that because it was one thing when everybody was running the no fans thing, and they did a very good job out of most, like I said, again, out of most of the companies that were doing the no fans thing when we were in the pandemic, I thought Ring of Honor's product was one of the better ones. But with that being said, when they kept running shows and there's no fans, and then you'd go out to Philly to the 2300 arena and then you have fans, but then go back to your TV and not have fans, that kills the vibe in a lot of ways when you can't have that pop for returns. You can't have, you know, any of that stuff. And for me, I think that those are the two big ones. Number one, the first one encompasses something I think they've always had an issue with. And the second one, I feel like the pandemic may have just kind of laid that definitely blow in there. Yeah.
Well, one thing I think
is Tony Khan and Vince have inquired about purchasing ROH.
Of course. They might not have asked down directly, but hey, they know. They know what it's going to take. But I think one, like I said, we said before, television, you know, it's hard to find. And marketing, that's one. Another thing is that Ring of Honor, to a certain degree, even though I felt like it was great for the wrestling fans, it wasn't good for business. They were a little bit too generous, man. Like basically, you got to realize they are the ones that pretty much did All In. They did the production for it. That's why they own the footage of it. And that basically opened the door for this new company to come in and snatch up half of their roster that was hot. Because you got to remember, when we were watching Ring of Honor, at one point we were going to the Royal Oak Music Theater, right?
Yeah.
And then once the Bucks and all that great talent left, they went back to the Ford Center in Dearborn. Yeah. That's because you were hot. Ring of Honor at certain times over their history could have been that number two company if they had money and, you know, invested in some more production and, you know, had the money behind them and had been just a little bit more selfish. I mean, I used to joke about it all the time. I posted this up in the Reality Era News group. They were talking about how AEW is Ring of Honor's rich uncle. I used to say NXT was the same thing. NXT was Ring of Honor with, you know, with money behind it. So Ring of Honor's always had the talent. They just didn't have the money and the production and the television deal to go along with it. If they had someone with that the money, they had a Tony Khan to put money into it and truly invest in it, Ring of Honor could have been what AEW is right now.
I agree with that 100%.
I don't think Sinclair was really that invested in it. I think they liked it because, you know, it brought in money, but I don't think they truly invested in it.
I agree with that 100% because, you know, again, you bring up Busted Open. Hey, newsflash for all of you guys who are watching this. We do watch all the other shows. So past guests of the show, Dave LaGreca and Ryan McKinnell, I've heard them talk about it, but more specifically, Bully Ray. You know, when you bring up All In and the fact that Ring of Honor, yeah, they own the rights to All In, but dude, when you looked at that show, other than the fact that we knew they were using ROH's production, did that show scream ROH at all to you anywhere? Was there, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, again, they really, I think that may have been Ring of Honor. You talk about what are the biggest things. That could have been one of the biggest mistakes they had, period.
All in?
Because look at the trickle-down effect of what that all caused. Yeah. Well, not making it to where they got even, you know what I mean?
That's what I was saying. I feel like it was great for wrestling fans, but for themselves, they should have been a little bit more selfish. Just a tad bit more selfish.
Well, speaking of selfish, before we get to AEW Full Gear and make picks for all that stuff, let's talk a little bit about MMA, dude. There's been a lot of shit going down in MMA. In particular, there's been a lot going down with a guy who I know you were a fan of at one time, John Jones. So what are your thoughts on the circus that is John Jones at this point? Just the look on your face.
It never fucking fails, man. It never fails.
Getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, bro.
What? Isn't he already in?
No, but I'm saying the night that all that shit happened, he got inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm like, it was like right around that time. Dude,
it was that night.
Fucking fails. And like, I think I've told the story before, man. John Jones was my guy. He was a big reason. The first fight I ever went to was him versus Rashad Evans when he won the belt, man. I mean, did he win the belt from Rashad?
He didn't win it from Rashad. Yeah, he did. No. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. It's so long ago, man. It was like 10 years ago.
That's crazy to think. Holy shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was 2012. Yeah. So 11 years ago. Dude.
It would be 9, but close enough.
My bad. Math is all bad. I don't even know what year it is, man. That's how crazy life is right now. That's what happens when you have kids, man. Your brain just goes to shit. But it never fucking fails with this guy. He never learns his lesson. And I've been saying it, man. As much as I'm a fan of this guy, Dana needs to get rid of this guy, man, because he's never going to learn. You cannot depend on him to be on the straight and narrow. If anything is certain, death, taxes, and John Jones fucking up at some point in the year. He cannot stay out of trouble, man. And I'm so done with the guy.
And you did.
I'm a big fan, but I'm so done with him.
And so what you just said brings up a very good point too, because I feel like the UFC has also backed themselves into a corner with like the precedent that they're setting too. Because if you look, Violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena got released right away for domestic violence stuff. Well, John Jones had domestic violence stuff, didn't get fired. You know, John Jones had a hit and run, didn't get fired. John Jones had like 3 DUIs, didn't get fired. Conor McGregor punched a DJ, didn't get fired. Threw a chair through the window and cost 3 people their fights, didn't get fired. Punched some old guy in a bar, didn't get fired. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of all these guys, and I'm not saying that firing somebody is like the answer for all that either. But at the same time, bro, if you keep bending the rules like that for one, then you look like a straight hypocrite to the rest of the roster. But that's just my thought.
You ever heard the story about the Dallas Cowboys practice years ago?
No. No.
But it was a practice. It was a film session. So Jerry Jones was back when the Cowboys actually won championships. I don't even know if you were alive at that point yet, sir. But so, you know, they're having a film session and it's 2 players asleep. So
You knew my birthday.
not Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson. That's what the coach back then. But, you know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, he's.
Come on, old man. What the fuck? That's why you needed podcast juice. You needed podcast juice.
I got podcast water right now. But. You know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, having a film session, they're watching the film.
Devin has a kid now that he talks like an old head. What up, Unk? Make sure you check him out. You got GCW Detroit. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. We're going to see the homie do the damn thing on Fight TV. Devin, are you buying the show on Fight TV since you ain't coming to Detroit?
Yeah, you know what? I probably will because I have some time before Full Gear this weekend. So I'll probably check it out before I go to the show. You gotta see Uncle Chase out there, man.
Hell yeah. Uncle Chase doing her karanas and shit and hitting motherfuckers with a cane.
But back to the Cowboy story. So Jimmy Johnson is having a film session and two players fall asleep. So Jimmy Johnson walks up to one of the guys and said, "Hey, you're cut. Get the fuck out of the lock. Get the fuck out of my building." And then he goes to one of the assistant coaches and says, "Hey, tell Emmitt Smith to wake up." So one guy is Emmitt Smith, Hall of Fame running back, you know, team, basically the leader of the team. He's asleep in the middle of a film session. Another guy who's, you know, one of the bottom guys on the bench gets cut immediately. So, yeah, the rules aren't the same for everybody. But at some point, if Emmitt Smith is asleep through every session and doesn't show up to practice, and he's costing you wins and he's costing you on the field, you then have to address that. John Jones has cost this company money. He's ruined pay-per-views. He's ruined great fight opportunities because he keeps fucking up. At some point, your superstar status can't save you anymore. And to me, that was about 5 years ago with John Jones. The UFC has to do. They gotta let him go, man. Because you want to know what the dirty little secret is?
I like
John Jones ain't as big of a pay-per-view draw as he thinks he is.
They've proven that because the last fight he did have, I believe, only did around 800,000 buys. Not a lot, but
those are great numbers. But he ain't Conor McGregor or Ronda Rousey. He ain't that.
Well, Conor McGregor might be in the same boat as John Jones here in a minute because, hot damn, I mean, if he doesn't come back and knock somebody out in his first fight, I mean, Conor's lost a lot of fights and seems to keep doing nothing but bringing bad PR. So we might be saying the same thing about Conor McGregor soon.
Sometime the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
They should have figured that out a while ago. But hey, what do I know? I'm over here flapping my gums on fucking YouTube. So what is it that I know? All right. As we talked about, Uncle Chase is getting ready to do his thing at GCW Detroit. What are your thoughts about GCW bringing such a banger ass card here to Detroit? It's like Evolve too, because we're in a crammed up ass Knights of Columbus, or no, is it a Knights of Columbus, or it's a VFW,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's in a VFW hall, bro. That bitch is going to be packed to sardines. They said it's completely sold out,
man. GCW is, they on fire right now, man. They
there you go.
You know, how we were just talking about Ring of Honor, how, you know, somebody needs to, you know, buy that library, and if they put some money behind it. Dude, GCW, they could be that next group, man. If they can get some more backing behind them, man, GCW can do some big things because they already got themselves out there without it. So imagine if someone else, you know, invested some money into it, man. GCW was doing their thing. That's another place where a lot of this talent that has been released, they're already going there, and, you know, even more of them can go there now. I know Leon Ruff is going to be there this weekend, man. Former NXT North American champion, man. Former Evolve guy. GCW is doing their thing, man, and I wish I was there this weekend to check out the shows, man. I'm very impressed with what GCW is doing. Very impressed.
The thing that's cool about GCW, too, is it still has that indie feel for sure, because think about what I just said in some of those matches, right? You have – and here's another thing. So I took Corey, who is one of the other co-hosts of this show, to his first GCW show, and the first thing he said when I asked him, all right, what stuck out to you from the GCW show? First thing he said was Alley Catch. So to have Alley Catch versus Chelsea Green here, it's going to be pretty damn badass. And Matt Cardona's coming in too. And that's still, don't, let's not forget about the stablemates of GCW. And you got Second Gear Crew, you got Nick Gage. I mean, dude, I feel like shit's about to get rowdy in Detroit.
Hey man, like I said, I'm kind of jealous, man. I'm not there right now, man, because I would definitely be at that show, man.
Shit, our boy the Dread King is in a six-man tonight with Nick Gage. So, like I say, man, if you're at Horror Slam versus GCW, same building as it is for the GCW show, if you guys are there, I will be in that bitch. So make sure you come check out and say what's up to your boy. Definitely got to catch up with Donald Holland, who's always plugging us on social media. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you for throwing that shit out there. Maybe maybe I can bring a man beast back to the show after I go to GCW versus Horror Slam tonight. But
man beast.
I mean, I'm trying here, bro. Like, I mean, I'm even taking my copy of WrestleMania 18. So, man, we got to make this shit happen. But before we get to making picks for Full Gear, since we were talking about all that stuff with John Jones, did you get to see UFC 268, or are you caught up on like what happened with that?
I'll be really, really honest with you, man. And I know this is like the most like non on brand thing, but I have not been watching a lot of MMA, man. I catch stuff here. You missed out
last weekend, dude.
You know, I've heard about, you know, how things played out last weekend, but I don't know, man. It's this whole adult life, man, and, you know, kids and shit like that, man. I don't know what it is.
Well, but, I can honestly tell you, if you went back to take the time to watch that card, it would be worth your time, because I'm not exaggerating when I say every fight on that card was badass. It might have been one of the best UFC cards I've watched in a long fucking time, period.
I've heard people say that, man, and, you know, when it hits ESPN Plus free, then I'll try to get back to that. I got to save all my little schmeckles and my shillings, my dineros, pesos, my Korean wands. That's really popular these days with Squid Games.
All right, well, I got two more things I wanted to talk with you about before we make these AEW predictions. What are your thoughts, since WrestleMania is going to be right down the street from your house, which means, motherfucker, I better have a spot on the couch. I'm coming to Texas, so I need a spot on a couch. If you're going to be in Texas for WrestleMania weekend, again, hit your boys from Knockouts and Three Counts up. But that being said, with WrestleMania coming to Texas, do you think The Undertaker is going to get inducted to the Hall of Fame this year? Do you think it should be a solo induction? And if so, regardless of whether it's solo or not, who do you think should induct him?
First question. Should he be inducted in Texas? Hell yeah. There's no other place to do it. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Should it be a solo?
Speaking of the man in any walks, what up, though? Donald, I'll see you tonight. Make sure you look for me at GCW versus Horror Slam, brother, man.
Dude, you keep screaming, man. It gets me off guard. Well, yes, I'm sitting here
just
making
like a very old days, point. You never know what's coming.
I'm sitting here making a very elegant point, you know, going through my thought process.
All right, proceed. My bad, sir. Just trying to acknowledge the fans, sir.
But
see, he seen it.
But what was I saying? Yeah, should be in Texas. Should it be a solo induction? Maybe not. Definitely should be the main event, but I don't know about a solo induction. And who do I think should do it? I mean, I think there's only really two people that could, well, three people that could do it.
All right, let me hear your three.
The best choice is Vince McMahon, to me.
I said the same thing.
The second choice is Kane.
Again, and, I agree.
And third choice, Bruce Pritchard. He's very, very instrumental to the
big. That's a good one, too. I've also heard Stone Cold thrown in there.
I didn't really get Stone Cold. I mean, yeah, I understand, you know, Stone Cold's biggest star, you know, blah, blah, blah. But to me, I don't think, when I think Undertaker, I don't think Stone Cold.
The Million Dollar Man. Why the Million Dollar Man? I mean, granted, yeah, I get it. He was with him at the very beginning, but Brother Love is the nostalgia pick on that one. He's got to be. Like, if you're going to go that route, it's got to be Brother Love, I would feel like. But hey, Ted DiBiase is still the man, and apparently he's still got his price.
Yeah, I didn't really think about Ted DiBiase. At first, I didn't get the connection. I'm like, oh, yeah, I do get it now. But yeah, Bruce Pritchard or Kane, because I don't think Vince is going to do it. If Vince was to do it, it would be for Taker, but I think it's got to be Kane or Bruce Pritchard.
Well, he didn't even do it for Stone Cold, didn't he?
I forgot who did it for Stone Cold. Was it?
This bothers me because Stone Cold's my all-time favorite. I should know this, but.
Oh, yeah. We should know who the hell inducted me in the Hall of Fame.
No, it was. No, Jim Ross did. I think it was Jim Ross.
I thought Stone Cold inducted Jim Ross.
No, he did, but I'm saying who inducted Stone Cold. I think it was Jim Ross.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, Bruce Pritchard or Kane.
Could be wrong. I have to look it up. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think Bruce Pritchard or Kane would be the other two. I would really like to see Vince do it, but. Who knows?
I don't think he's going to do it.
Nah, I don't think he will either, especially with how much heat he's been taking on the screen right now. Here's the other thing. Okay, so with WrestleMania being two nights again this year, do you think if Undertaker does go into the Hall of Fame, do you think they do like...
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely have to do it. two introductions each night. Different characters. Yes.
That's what I said. Come on, man. Hot damn. Definitely. And I've heard so many people hating on the American Badass Undertaker, but let me tell you, okay? Back in the days of the compact disc player for you young kids that don't just got all your shit on your Apple iTunes and all that, when I got my first CD player between Roland from Limp Bizkit and... Hell yeah, they just came out with a new album. Shout out to Fred Durst.
Why does Fred Durst look like Jeff Jarrett, man?
No, you know who he looks like? He looks like Rob Dyrdek. He looks like Bobby Light from fucking I ain't gonna do you right. Son of a bitch. Damn, I just threw myself off. Fuck. I don't know where this stuff comes from, but no, Fred Durst and them got their new album. But my point was, when I had my CD player as a kid, I remember getting Chocolate Starfish CD from them and the and American Badass. Yes. And the History of Rock from American Badass, and playing those two songs on repeat. And even furthermore, when Durst and them played them out at WrestleMania 19, I was all over it. So I, for one, think if it's a two-night thing and we're talking about The Undertaker, hot damn it, I want to see the most badass Undertaker entrance that you can put together on night one, and then or on whatever, however you decide to do the nights. On one night, I want to see the most badass Undertaker entrance I've ever seen. And on night two, I want to see the full-blown bike and everything. Hell, since they got a new album out, I want Limp Bizkit or Kid Rock to come play his ass to the ring.
Kid Rock's already in the Hall of Fame, man. Have Kid Rock do it, man.
Right. Have Kid Rock play American Badass, or, like I said, Fred Durst, I'm sure, would do Rollin' again. Like I said, I, for one, would like it. For all of you guys in the comments, do you want to see the multiple entrances, or do you think it would be good just with one? I want to know what inquiring minds have to say.
Hey, look, all right, man. So I think we all know I'm not really watching WWE right now, but every now and again I'll peek in, and it's usually something that's going on at WrestleMania. That would be one of the things that I would make sure that I watch WrestleMania weekend, you know, somehow.
Well, that brings up another question for you. So since I haven't gotten to talk to you about it much, I know you don't watch WWE that much anymore, but have you gotten to check out much of the stuff with Roman versus Brock?
I've heard like updates on it. I listen to people talk about it. I got kind of the gist of it. I don't know. I really haven't seen any of it, but as far as like,
if there were something for me to recommend to you to watch, man, that's in my opinion, across all the companies right now, they've really done, like I said, I mean, I think a lot of that's because of the people who are involved. I mean, when you have Paul Heyman, people can say whatever you want about Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar knows what he's doing. And Roman is on a whole nother level. And then insert the Usos, and maybe if they add Naomi to the bloodline and all that, I think that the bloodline storyline might be the best storyline going right now, other than what they have. I mean, AEW's got some good ones, but I mean, as far as longevity wise, because he's been champion for quite a while now, you know, they've continued to be able to add new wrinkles, whether it was Edge, whether it was, go ahead.
Isn't it kind of weird that this is probably the best storyline they've had in a decade, and all they had to do was the one thing that every fucking fan had been begging for the past, I don't know, 6 years?
Hell of a coinkadink, huh?
They booed this man out the building for years. It's turn heel. And when they turn him heel, it's the best story they've had in who knows how long.
Dude, and that's
weird.
You know, it's funny. You Kyle, know,
Kyle, you remember when we went to Money in the Bank, man, and it was him versus Jinder Mahal, and they were shitting on that match from the beginning.
They booed it. They were straight booing all through the arena. We're booing.
And it's like, how do you just do it? Just do it. And you know what the scary thing is? If there was no pandemic, I still think they would be trying to force Roman Reigns down everybody's throat as a babyface. I think the only reason they did it is because they had the pandemic.
I mean, it's a fair and arguable point. Well, that's as good a way as any to bring this up. I mean, with that being said, where do you think we're going to see one Wyndham Rotunda end up?
I'm glad you brought this up, sir. Because
see, I try to do my hostly duties. Now that I've had to take over full control in your absence, you know, I try to make sure I got my shit together.
But you know what, Matt? I want to hear your thoughts first.
See, I got him so good that he froze and was smiling.
I want to hear your thoughts first, man.
So, I really don't feel like, I know this sounds bad, but in a lot of ways, I really feel like there's not a lot of options really for him, because I don't really see him going to an MLW or Japan or anything like that. I know we said that AEW is very top heavy, but that's a lot like what I've talked about on the show for the last few weeks. I feel like AEW definitely needs to be more selective in who they're going to pick up, especially with all these names that are out there, because if you just sign people to sign people again, it's running into the same problem we were talking about here. But this one in particular, I feel that him going to AEW would be great. And the reason why is we all know the connection with him and Brody Lee and all that. And we've already seen, you know, the way that they talk about every week, how the Dark Order has kind of just gone by the wayside, sort of, other than to have Hangman Page, you know, be cool with him and whatever. You know, how better of a way to debut a guy than to have all the lights go out and have him show up? No fiend shit, no nothing. He can have the dreadlocks like he had before, but he just shows up in the ring, you know, one night, or when it, let the Dark Order get the shit beat out of him by somebody, whether it's the Bucks, whoever. Most likely the Bucks. Have the Bucks and the Elite beat the shit out of them. Have the lights go out. Have him come back in and tell them, you know, you guys were once one of the most feared groups out here in AEW when one of my own was your leader. And since he's left us, you know, you guys have just become the laughingstock of AEW, Well, I know he taught you better than that because I taught him. It should be something like that. And then I feel like that would be able to make them all more serious. Now, I get it with negative one and all that. I'm sure there's a way they can tie that in because, you know, Bray and him have a relationship as well. But for me, I think that's the way to go with Bray Wyatt. Not Bray Wyatt, but whatever. Wyndham Rotunda, you know what I mean.
Wyndham Rotunda. I like that idea. My thing is this. I have a sneaking suspicion that there's a chance that it could happen this weekend, even though I just heard he's like filming a movie right now, which I think is great. Do your movie, man. Because
facts.
I want them to hold off on this. I want them to at least wait until the beginning of the year. If I don't think he can really go anywhere else, but if they're going to debut him, I want them to wait to sometime next year, beginning of the year, because you have a lot of people who's debut in like a short period of time. You know, you got Dragon, you got Punk, you got Adam Cole, baby, you got Tony Nese for some reason. You know, no disrespect to Tony Nese, but
that's fucked up. No, Tony Nese for some reason. No disrespect, but fuck you too.
No, it just didn't make any sense. It's no disrespect, but it just seemed weird that Tony Nese got signed, and it's like, okay, but that's the problem. Is like a lot of people probably know Tony Nese got signed because you got so many people that has come in a short period of time that you don't have enough time to let it breathe. And then, like I said before, you got people that's been forgotten about. I think if you let it breathe a little bit, because everybody's expecting it, right? Everybody's like, well, it's 90 days is up. It's 90 days up this day, so it should happen soon. Let it breathe. Give it a little bit of time. You know, and then when everybody stops talking about it and everybody starts talking about, you know, other people and they forget about it, bam, he shows up. So I think that would be the best way to do it. You know, if you want to do the dark, I like your idea with the Dark Order. I think it'd be a great storyline. But let it breathe a little bit.
I completely agree, dude. Like, I mean, that's why I said I feel like right now the Dark Order, you know, is kind of like the happy-go-lucky, you know. The fans are loving him right now, but I feel like the way to do that is that Johnny Hungy. For all you motherfuckers that can't see it in this bitch, the hype is real, man. We had somebody stop us at the fights and literally had a guy who watches the show straight up tell me, man, you know, no disrespect, but you look so much more jacked on the camera. Motherfucker, I've been doing my curls. I've been doing my curls, bro. But they might have been 12-ounce curls, but they're still curls. But with that, with that being said, man, I don't know, man. I just don't really see, I don't really see anywhere else that he really fits in.
Me either.
I don't. Maybe a stop through the NWA, but
yeah,
especially with his dad's history there. But I think as far as a landing spot, it has to be AEW.
Right. I agree.
I don't know. That's just me. I feel like it has to, because I feel like that story writes itself. And I feel like at this point, especially since you've already proven that Hangman's just going to be a friend to the Dark Order, like, I feel like it has to be AEW. Like, I don't really see any other way to go. Me either. So, all right. Now that we're talking about AEW, and I have to cry myself to sleep again, because Devin gets to go and I don't. But, let's talk about AEW Full Gear and make some predictions in this bitch, huh?
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. All right. Everybody, anybody in the comments, like I said, I want you guys to follow along with us. If you got picks, let us know who you're picking and if you think we're full of shit. So, all right. You've got the good doctor, Britt Baker, versus former WWE and, oh my God, one of the best bodies in the business, Tay Conti.
Jay Cargill. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you said best bodies in the business.
I mean, I'm not mad at that pick either, sir.
Wait, time out. So, I'm not really into muscular chicks like that. No, nothing against them, you know, hey. Get your workout on. It's just, you know, not necessarily my preference.
I'm with it. You can flex me anytime.
Dude, I don't know what it is about this woman, man. Like, every time I see her, it's just like,
She's just got, dude, she's just got that wow factor. I think the hair helps it a lot because she's that Storm vibe, but.
But dude, she's hands down one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life, man.
It got him so good he froze.
Just hands down one of the most
beautiful women. It got him so good he literally froze as he started to make his point. Not arguing that. But who do you think's gonna win?
She needs work. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. I started thinking about Jade Cargill. I forgot about this
it's
match.
It's all good. You were daydreaming, or maybe Jade dreaming, but it's all right.
I think it's going to be Britt Baker, but I heard something that kind of made me think they might go the other way.
Yeah, and what is that?
Well, Tony Khan was previewing the card, and I was doing a little bit of research for us doing the podcast today. So, you know, Tony Khan was previewing the card on Unrestricted podcast. And he was talking about how Britt Baker has a lot of her plate right now, how she's burning a candle at both ends. And, you know, with her doctor, her dentistry and wrestling and, you know, working out. And she says she's dealing with a couple of injuries right now. So it made me think, like, could she be – you know, looking to take some time off. I still think she wins this match, but that's kind of in the back of my head right now. That comment that Tony Khan made. But I'm still going to go with Britt Baker.
I can see him. I can see that, but I think it's got to be Britt Baker, and here's why. I think with the title reign that they've amassed with her, if she's going to lose the belt, it better be to the next person that you plan to, like, really push. Like, I feel like she can't just lose the belt to just anybody. And that's no disrespect to Tay Conti, but I don't know that I think that she's on the level to take out the good doctor. Now, again, maybe, man, I've got my fantasy Booker hat on today, but if you're going to do that to try to build yourself a new, I'll wear the Kango. But the way I think it could really be good is if, you know, we've seen the reemergence of Jamie Hayter, you know, and she's really kind of did her thing. She's in this TBS tournament and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you're going to do that to get Britt out of there. Now, I'm not even saying she's got to necessarily win the title, but I feel like a feud between her and Jamie Hayter, of Jamie Hayter getting tired of playing lackey or whatever it is, I think that's a better option than Tay Conti. In my personal opinion, but I think whoever it is that's going to take the title off of Britt Baker, whenever that happens, hell, they might not ever, but if they're going to, I feel like it needs to be somebody that's either on their way up or is on that same level as a Britt Baker. So, otherwise it damages the ring.
So, and here's the other reason, like the only reason I had any doubts is because of that, what I heard Tony Khan say about, you know, this match.
Sure. Makes sense.
But one thing that I noticed, you watched Dynamite.
Yep.
And you saw that the 3-on-3 match they had.
Yeah.
The one thing that I noticed is that, hey, Tay Conti is, you know, vying for the championship this weekend, you know, so they're building up that feud. But she wasn't the one that the fans were really cheering for in that match. Young lady next to her named Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa is, Britt Baker, is the most over woman in AEW. So I think they have to build to that. I think Thunder Rosa has to be the person that takes that belt from her. I think she's really the only one because the fans love her. And when I say this is no disrespect to Thunder Rosa. I love Thunder Rosa, but I don't know when this started. I don't know if I missed something, but I don't understand when this started and how this started. I love it. I'm glad that she's a fan favorite and the fans love her, but I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, but I don't even know if because I noticed it before that Lights Out match they had, but they love Thunder Rosa. She is
think it's because of her story, dude. I think all the fans know that she came up from nothing. and has built herself up from just being like a member of a tag team to making herself a star. And I mean, it's hard for her not to be much of a star when her promotion, Mission Pro Wrestling, which we were the proud sponsors of for Mission Pro Wrestling in Buda, Texas, where Dave LaGreca got out by the skin of his teeth. But with that being said, I mean, when she's doing that much to further women's pro wrestling and, you know, putting on the matches she is, like, she's gotten better and better and better, which I think is why AEW went out of their way to sign her from NWA.
Stiller from NWA.
I mean, hey, call it what you will, but what did past guest of the show Eric Bischoff say? One man's raid is another man's acquisition.
Facts.
I'm just saying, man. Like I said, I agree with you 100%. I think with Thunder Rosa, though, it's just an organic thing, dude. I feel like people have seen her grind for too long, and when you can do that and then perform in the ring like she did, even in that match against Britt Baker, I mean, it's no surprise that people are like that. But like I said, as far as predictions, I think in this match, I think the Good Doctor is coming home with the women's strap. This next match was supposed to be a totally different match. But before we get to the match that we have at hand, shout out to Moxley, all the respect in the world for, you know, going into rehab because, you know, you had to get yourself straight, not to mention to pull yourself off the road when you're, you know, GCW champion, you're killing it in AEW, you're all over the place, and to pull yourself off the road because you knew you needed to get it under control. Hey, all the respect in the world to you. But with that, that creates a whole new matchup for us in Miro versus Bryan Danielson. And I feel like this one is another one of those dark horse show stealers that AEW keeps seeming to have on these cards.
Well, I echo the same sentiments to Mr. John Moxley. You know, I mean, not saying that, you know, I'm in the same situation as John, but, you know, he just had a kid not too long ago himself. I just had a kid, and I'm telling you, man, kids will change your life, man, and make you start, you know, realizing some shit about yourself that you need to get together quick because you don't want to pass those bad habits down, or you want to be the best person you can for them. So shout out to John Moxley for doing what, you know, he needed to do, you know, to get his stuff together, you know, for him and his family. But, man, once again, with all these new signings, you know, new shiny new toys, you know, Dragon, Punk, Cole. I think Miro, he still definitely has been shining, but to a certain degree, I feel like it's going under the radar, man. Miro has been doing some of the best work, best promo work and in-ring work over the past year that I've ever seen. And the guy, man, I've always known that this guy had it. We saw it in WWE with Rusev Day. We saw it with, you know, his character before that. But it just kept getting stifled. But this, the guy's Redeemer character, this is some great work, man. And the promos are amazing. The guy looks great. I don't want him to lose his match, man. I think if you're going to have someone to end Bryan's, you know, undefeated streak, I think Miro's the guy. And honestly, I think that's the move.
Okay, because, so then if that's the move, do you think somebody comes out to interfere to help, not necessarily help Miro, but fuck over Danielson?
No. Miro is a strong enough character to be able to beat Danielson.
I agree, but I don't think that's the way they're going to go, especially because he hasn't lost yet. But I like what you said about that with Miro, because that also brings me to a point that I just threw up in the comments. So if y'all are paying attention, I want to know what you think. I think this could be the perfect time to maybe see Lana show up.
Yeah, because he's been, you know, he's been talking about,
I must make my wife love me again.
He's been teasing it for a long time, and once again, you know, dragging it out, you know, letting it breathe. He's throwing it out there, but not, you know, they didn't rush it. I'm gonna save this point for when we talk about the main event. So My pick is Miro. I'll come back to this match when the main event comes around.
All right. For me, I think it's got to be Danielson, especially because he hasn't lost yet. I think somehow he's going to get the dub in this one. Because here's the thing. I also think it's going to be Danielson for this reason too. We'll have to talk about this in a minute when we get to the heavyweight title match, but think about it in this sense. Let's just say that Hangman Page beats Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Danielson and Omega have to have, you know, a rematch. Rematch for them to face Hangman. Or rematch if, what if Danielson wins and gets the title, and then you've got that rematch for, you know, the title. Or then again, you know, Hangman is champion. You have Danielson versus Hangman, and then that leaves the door open for another Kenny match. Like I say, I just don't see Bryan Danielson losing in this tournament. I think it was supposed to be him and Moxley. I think they put Miro in there for the exact reason that you just said, that he's such a good character and what he's been doing is such good shit that he can easily be put in there and it's believable. But I think it's going to be Danielson, and I do think we're going to see if she's going under CJ or what she's going by. I think we're going to see Lana in an AEW ring this weekend. All right. Now let's get to the match that I think everybody is most excited to see. CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. Dude, you talk about talking people into the seats. I mean, son of a bitch, dude.
He literally talked me into the seats. After that whole thing, I'm like, man, I really wish I was going to this, man. I really wish I was going to this. Now I'm going. I literally bought my tickets like
ding, ding, ding. Ding.
Like literally that's what did it. It's like, oh, I gotta go. It pulled me in.
So how do you feel? How do you see it going? And what are your thoughts on the promos we've seen so far?
I think CM Punk wins. I think they've set up the out for it. Eddie said it. I don't care about winning this match. I just want to beat you up. And I think both of those things happen. I think Eddie Kingston beats the shit out of CM Punk, but Eddie still loses the match. But I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm a big CM Punk guy, man. I'm a huge CM Punk fan. I went to go see him fight in his first fight in the UFC, man, just because I was a big fan of his. But I don't want to see Eddie Kingston lose his match. I want Eddie to win it. I think it'd be a great way to turn CM Punk heel, you know, but
I don't even think it's got to turn him heel. What about just from the story standpoint of how Punk has reiterated in all the promos? Like, you know, we were on top of you so bad because we saw the potential in you 15 years ago. You know, you're going back and forth and Eddie Kingston clearly just wants his respect. Well, dude, what better way to get your respect than to have the big hug moment at the end and he beats CM Punk? And now you've now shown that, but it's just tough. Cause do you really think they'll make CM Punk lose? So I don't know. I think Eddie Kingston wins this match, but I think, or not Eddie Kingston. I meant to say CM Punk. I think CM Punk wins this match. And I think Eddie Kingston comes out all the better for it because I feel like at the end, there's going to be some kind of shit where Punk grabs the microphone and drops a Punk pipe bomb, putting Eddie Kingston over. That's kind of what I see happening.
I can see that, man, but all right, I've said this in the group, and I'm going to go ahead and say this now on the show, man. Just give me a few minutes. At one point, you know, we had our affiliation with Evolve, right? And I think at one point we were talking about getting Eddie Kingston on the show. And I remember specifically telling
Mikey you, and our boys from Breaking Down the Ring did.
But I remember specifically telling you, like, Kyle, I really don't see the appeal to this guy, man. I didn't get it. I thought he was okay. I thought he was a guy. I really wasn't impressed by Eddie Kingston. And he was like, you know, and you like, oh, we got to get him, man. He's an MMA guy and he's a wrestler. It fits into the show. Like, it fits, but. Yeah, I was never really
just Eddie to show Kingston. You, I was an Eddie Kingston fan from way back.
Like, to the point where, like, I was shitting on the guy. I'm like, man, you know, he kind of fat and sloppy, man. He looked lazy. I don't really get it. Then when he went to NWA, I saw a little bit more of who he was as a talker. He didn't really didn't wrestle that much in NWA, but he was more of a talker. And I'm like, okay, he's a pretty good manager. And I remember him with LAX and Impact. I'm like, oh, he's a good manager, but, you know. Yeah. Dude, I was so wrong. And starting last year, man, when he had his TNT title match with Cody, and he told a story before the match, and then in the match, I'm like, dude, I think he hurt himself, like, for real, man. And then I heard him on the interview tomorrow, it was part of the match, and I'm like, okay, he got me. Eddie Kingston, I think more than anybody that I've watched as an adult, has made me turn off that part of my brain that lets me know what this really is. He makes me suspend disbelief. He makes me buy in. I believe what he's saying or what he's doing. I believe him. And you look at the match he had last year at Full Gear with Moxley. I thought that was one of the best programs of the whole year. That match, the whole buildup to it was great. Look at the stuff that he's done this year, minus the whole exploding ring thing. That was a little weird, but that wasn't necessarily his fault. But in the year that he's been in AEW, he has made me into a fan. And I said it in the group, man, I hope I run into him this weekend, because I want to apologize to that man face to face to let him know that I'm sorry for, you know, things that I said about him. I was wrong. And this guy deserves all the credit in the world, because he literally talked me into flying to Minneapolis in the middle of the winter to go see him wrestle.
Not man. The winter yet. Don't you say that. I still live in Michigan, asshole. There's much more chance I'm getting snow than you bastards, because we don't close down over an inch.
Hey, just be lucky you got out of town when the fuck you did, man. You would have stuck there right next to me freezing your ass off, motherfucker.
Hey, I got out on the last flight before they shut them all down. So
I know. It's all right. Like, dude, you literally made it out just, dude, it was about to get ugly. Oh, man. But no, shout out, man, Eddie Kingston, if I don't get a chance to meet you this weekend, I want you to see me say this to the camera. I apologize to you, sir. I was wrong. You are one of the most compelling people I've ever seen in the professional wrestling business, man. And shout out to you, sir.
Well, I was wrong.
You
know, if you do meet Eddie Kingston, you could always just take him one of those business cards and tell him that we'd love to have him on the show, and you could tell him while we're on the air.
Well, hopefully after I tell him, I shout out on him. I was talking all kinds of shit about him. Hopefully he'll be like, yeah, you know, bro, I come on there. And the whole Brooklyn, you know, New York swag, man, I love it too, man. You know, I've been watching the Wu-Tang show on Hulu, man. So I'm really into the whole New York accent right now. So yeah, shout out to Eddie Kingston, man. Came into the ring with some Timberlands and a hoodie, man. That's New York shit right there, man.
Like I said, dude, I've been a fan of Eddie Kingston for a long time. I was really glad to see Mikey and them get to interview him with Evolve. Like I said, I think Eddie has been a diamond in the rough. I remember going to watch Eddie Kingston face the same fucking match that we just had last weekend. Or last week on Rampage. I remember seeing Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson fight in the Taylortown Trade Center right after he choked out Justin Roberts with the tie at Shikara and shit. And he kicked Eddie Kingston in the chest like 50 times. And I remember just sitting there like, damn, dude, this guy's chest is going to just be fucked up. And, yeah, dude, like I said, I've been a big fan of Eddie Kingston from way back. I think this match is going to do great things for both Punk and Eddie Kingston, because I think Punk will have a little bit more of that edge added to him, and I think it's going to only raise Eddie Kingston's stock. But with that being said, man, I still, like I said, I think Punk is getting the W in this match. All right, so then we got, speaking of Evolve, we got a match that involves a guy who got us all over Bleacher Report because he told us to tell Evolve to go fuck themselves. Yeah, that guy. Darby Allin versus MJF. And I completely agree with what we heard on AEW, where MJF said that him, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and who was, yeah, that's four. They're the four pillars of eight. Yeah, Jungle Boy. Okay. Who we've also interviewed. Check that shit out. Yeah, dude, I agree with that statement 100%.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about this earlier today, and I'm like, I think you gotta throw Orange Cassidy in there too. But then when I thought about it some more, I'm like, Orange Cassidy's like 30-something years old. So they were basically talking about the young guys, you know, that it's the future of the business. So, yeah, I 100% agree with that. Those four guys. Well, shit, Sammy Guevara was in the first match ever in AEW? He was in the buy-in for Double or Nothing. I got to meet him. Cool guy. MJF.
We interviewed him twice.
Yeah, MJF, young guy. Honestly, probably just the best pure heel in the business. If you talk about old school, facts. The best pure heel in the business, no, regardless of the company. Jungle Boy. Dude, with hair like that, man, the ladies are going to love that guy forever, man. You know,
just ask Anna Jay.
Dude, did you hear what Max?
I was just about to ask you that. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And he was sitting there looking at him like, okay, what the hell's that all got to do? And as soon as he dropped the letting your girls hang out with
Seth,
it got all serious real quick.
Dude, Max Caster. The Acclaim is one of my favorite tag teams in the business right now, too, man. Max Caster with those freestyles. I remember at first, everybody was like, oh, John Cena did this 15 years ago. But, dude, he was amazing with it. So shout out to Max Caster, man. He might be the fifth pillar of AEW.
Really?
In my book. Okay. I know it's not gonna be anybody else's book, but my book, yeah. But, no, but in-ring, Bowens is great, and Max Caster on the mic, man. It's a great team, man. They need those titles within the next 2 years, and they need to have those titles.
I agree with that. So who are you taking, Darby Allin and MJF? I feel like the buildup that we've had with this between the stuff with Sting has been great. I like the stuff we've seen from Darby and them. Everybody joining the stream, who you got, Darby Allin, MJF? Let me know. But for me, man, This match is going to be great. Something as far as who wins, I find it hard to think that MJF is going to lose, but at the same time, I feel like Darby kind of needs a win too, and I feel like that could be a statement win for him. But then again, you also got to take into effect with MJF that he's got that alliance with Andrade in them too.
Right. I'm picking MJF because this kind of goes into something else that I'm going to talk about later on, but I don't think it's time for him to have his quote-unquote first loss, even though he has lost matches before, which, once again, makes him a great heel. He lies to you so many times that eventually you start believing him, and then you start thinking back like, no, he lost to Jeremiah. No, he lost to Chris Jericho. He's lost matches before. But see, he's a great, great heel, man. So I don't think it's time for him to lose yet. Darby, man, the thing about Darby is the guy is so over, man. He can lose all the time. And it really doesn't hurt him. I mean, eventually they're gonna have to give him some more wins, you know, to get him into some more programs that, you know, he comes out on top of, but I don't think a loss will hurt Darby right now. I think MJF needs it more than Darby does.
I feel like MJF is going to win as well, but I also could see it being like a big schmoz finish with, you know, everybody kind of being involved to keep both guys strong as well, because with Sting and then all the stuff with Pinnacle too, I feel like there could be more than meets the eye, but I feel like these two are going to go out, especially after the Pillars comment. I think, oh, shit, my mom's watching. Hi, damn. So glad to see you guys live.
Hi, Grandma. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I know. Dude, that's all she had. Shit, that's all that's on her brain right now, man. Jaden, the future co-host of Knockouts and Three Counts in this bitch. Maybe he'll have a female co-host with him someday.
We just got to get Kyle out here spreading his seeds around.
Hey. Hey. Don't you be doing that to me, sir. I mean, I want kids and all that, but hey. She's already got enough of what she can handle with Jaden right now. So don't you be saying that. And for all the ladies that watch this, I want kids. But just let
you know
me
what? Find... I was about to say something very inappropriate, but your mother's on here. But she probably doesn't care anymore.
When has that ever stopped us before? There's a reason why Podcast Detroit has a disclaimer, motherfucker.
But we'll move on. MJF.
No, but yeah, dude, like I said,
Did you freeze up? Ka? Hey. Unfreeze, buddy. Hey.
Uh-oh, Devin froze up. We're good. He's alive.
Oh, no. You froze up, man.
Yours, on my end, you froze up. So it's all good. Go ahead and say what you were saying.
I think you were talking. You were saying
I was saying Darby Allin MJF, I think, is going to be one of those pillar matches. I think MJF is going to win, but I feel like these two are going to go out of their way to really kill it with this one. But if I'm picking MJF.
I agree. I think so far I don't see a stinker on the card, man. I think this is going to be a banger. And this is going to be the first of many matches we're going to see between these four gentlemen, man. I'm looking forward to seeing all the different interactions, man, between these four, because now I think I got to get that shirt, man. But now that they've been branded as the four pillars of the future of AEW, man, I'm really looking forward to seeing. looking at the comment your mom just put up.
Well, no, what's happening is WoW can't get our fucking internet to work, and you working right now is too much for me right now. But that's a story for another time.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this match. I think this is going to be a banger. But MJF comes away with the victory.
I agree. I like I said, it's MJF for me. Now let's talk about the Super Click versus Jurassic Express. I almost called them Jungle Express. Jurassic Express and Christian. I think the Super Click is definitely getting the dub in this one, but I think this is just further proof of. Like we were just saying, where they see one of the other four pillars in Jungle Boy, in the fact that he's working with Adam Cole and the Bucks. I think, like I said, I think that they'll win, but I do think we're going to see some great things. I hope Luchasaurus eventually kind of gets to, so we can see more of what he can do as a single too.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, man, but Luchasaurus is getting chair almost more than Jungle Boy is, man. Like the people want to see more Luchasaurus, man. And you know, I remember watching him back in Lucha Underground when he was I don't even remember what the hell his name was. His original name was before he became Luchasaurus, man. But I think they're gonna have to put the rocket on this kid, man. But once again, it's a problem, man. We got a lot of talent. It's kind of hard to, you know, break out new stars when you got all this talent packed in there. But I agree with you. I think the Super Click gets the win. They'll pull out some shady shenanigans somehow. You know, Brandon Cutler will probably get involved with this cold
probably
spray.
Spray someone with a spray and shit.
Something like that. But I think that was supposed to be like Falls Count Anywhere, I think.
That is Falls Count Anywhere.
Yeah, so I've actually got floor seats, so I'll probably get some video of them walking, you know, fighting past me or something like that.
Make sure you're following us at KO3C Pod.
Yes, sir. But, I think this is going to be a good one, man. It's going to be chaos. Honestly, I think this match is going to be better on TV than it is live, because
definitely because I felt the same way at Revolution with the Sting match.
Yeah, It was six people fighting all over the place, man. You know, you're going to be looking up at the screen and stuff like that. So,
well, we literally couldn't do anything but watch the screen with that one.
Right. So, you know, for me as a live experience, probably not going to be the highest on my, you know, my list. I'll probably go back and watch this one, you know, over again on TV to really get the full effect of it. But I'm still looking forward to it, man. And I think Superflick gets the win.
Dude, what's crazy about it is that I enjoyed All Out so much that I went back and bought the pay-per-view afterwards, even though I was there too. So, yeah, man, like I said, I definitely think it could be a good one, but I definitely can see your point. All right, now let's talk about a match that it seems like every pay-per-view, these guys are stealing the fucking show, because in my opinion, it stole All Out in a lot of ways, that cage match. So what I'm talking about is Dax and Cash of FTR versus the Lucha Brothers. What are your thoughts on this match, bro?
Oh
no, I think it's more like this.
So look like you just threw a Judas effect on your microphone, man. Wait, I can't hear you.
Yeah, it said I muted myself on accident.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I'm elbowing my microphone, dropping the bit.
Dude, this is another one of those matches that I'm really looking forward to, man. I will say this, I'm not a fan of the new Lucha Bros music.
What?
Maybe. And I know that's not a popular opinion, but I think it might be just because I really love their old music. I thought that was some of the best music in the business. Them changing it.
What like music? The Cerro Miedo one?
Yeah.
That's what they got.
No, but the old one was Lucha Bro, Mexican, Zero Million.
That's it. It's the same thing.
But no, it's like a remix version of it now, man. But
they just added shit to the front and back. It's still the same song.
No, it's different, man. It's different. pull them up on the YouTubes, man. Trust me. Tell me which one you think is better. I think the old one is better. Me personally. But so the tough thing about this match is that the Lucha Bros just won those titles at All Out. It's what, 3 months ago? Like, are they going to take the titles off of them this quick and put them?
No, I think they're winning the AEW. They're going to win the win and take the AAA titles back. But
I said
I think they're going to win here this Saturday, and I think then they're eventually going to try to take those titles back from Dax and Cash eventually.
Okay, but. It's like tough to call, man, because like basically if FTR loses this match, they kind of fall by the wayside almost. And I think they can kind of get lost in the whole Pinnacle storyline. Sort of like, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, sort of like where LAX is, man. Like, I feel like they're kind of lost in the inner circle. And I think if FTR doesn't win the AEW titles, now they can kind of get lost and just basically become a part of the Pinnacle storyline. So I think I'm going to go with FTR, man.
I like it. See, we're conflicted. If you guys got picks on FTR versus the Lucha Bros, tell us who you got in the comments. All right. So you mentioned Santana and Ortiz. They're going to take on.
Who did you pick?
You picked FTR, I picked the Lucha Brothers.
Okay.
Right. And sorry, I say that sorry, because I just can't see FTR having, I can't see FTR having the AAA titles and the AEW titles, but.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you, sir. You were saying about LAX. I apologize.
No, you're good. No, I was saying, since you were talking about LAX or Santana and Ortiz, how do you feel about ATT versus the Inner Circle?
You know what? The more and more I think about this match, I'm really not that excited for this match, man. Like, I thought I was, but like the more and more I think about it, I'm kind of not. I know that sounds bad, man, but I think I'm tired of the inner circle. I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think the inner circle is kind of holding back Sammy and LAX, man. LAX, I feel like, should have been. I don't even know if they had a tag team title match yet. Since they've been
they have.
When? Because I don't remember it.
I believe they had one at the full gear I was at. I can't remember who they faced. I'm 99% sure they went for the titles that night, but I know they've had a tag title match.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that FTR versus the Bucks?
I'll look it up. You finish your
point. Okay. But I feel like LAX, man, they need to break out as a tag team. Sammy Guevara is a TNT champion, but I feel like he's still being stifled by being in the group, man. Even though he is the champion, I feel like he's still kind of like just a piece of this group, and I feel like it's kind of holding him back, man. So honestly, I would like to see the inner circle come to an end, man. I felt like it should have happened a while ago when the MJF storyline was going up, and I feel like everything now is just like a little bit much. Yeah, singing Judas is great. That's fun. I'm looking forward to doing that. But I think this group needs to come to an end, man. Because I feel like it's holding back some great young talent in that group.
I don't know that it's necessarily got to end, but I could see them taking a break, especially with Jericho having to, you know, go do the whole Fozzy Rockstar thing. I definitely think that could have something to do with it. With that being said, I like seeing Junior Dos Santos in wrestling, dude. I'm glad to see him do something else, but it was pretty funny watching him wield the kendo stick because you could tell he didn't want to just kill him with the stick. Right. And, you know, so it's been funny seeing all that. With that being said, I think Paige VanZant has a very good future in wrestling as well. But with that being said,
or only him
and Arlovsky, say it. Yeah, that too. But, I mean, that's not a future. She's doing that right now. But I don't know, man. Like, they've.
Oh, she is?
This motherfucker dog. But yeah. Picks up phone. dude, but yeah, like I said, I think they all have a future in wrestling. But with that being said, I don't see the inner circle losing to them. But if anything, I think the best way they could go with this match is somehow, I feel like, if the inner circle is going to lose, I feel like Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page got to go over out of this. Oh, look at some of our friends from BCW. Hey, we miss y'all too. We miss y'all too. I won't be there for the next show. Hopefully we can get Devin to come back one of these days. But we appreciate y'all.
I just got to say, I am very, very jealous of this young lady because she's been on the Jericho crew, I think, all three times.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. You know, me and J-Bone were just talking about this, bro. I think the Jericho Cruise might have to be a move.
Man, I would love to do the Jericho Cruise, but I got kids now, man. So my life is over. I'm lucky.
Oh,
I'm
man, your life is just beginning.
I'm lucky I'm able to go to Full Gear this weekend, man.
Yeah, I know. I wish I was going. But, you know, it's funny. The post office doesn't think you should have a life outside of there. But that's a story for another time.
Sound like General Motors.
Any of those good-paying big boy jobs, funny how they do that.
Yeah. Well, by the way, shout out to the veterans here on Veterans Day.
Yeah. Salute. Yeah, man. I'm with you, though. I like what we've seen so far, but I feel like as far as picking, you know what? Hell with it. I'm going to go with ATT. I think ATT wins somehow. And I think that they try to use it to put over, hope they use it to try to put over Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And maybe that could be the start of the implosion of the Inner Circle.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
So we're like both picking.
Like I said, man, I know it sounds bad, but it's like kind of like the one match that I'm kind of, you know, up and down about. I hope it's a great match. I think, you know, the guys are going to put on a good show and, you know, do their best. But I might, if I go to the bathroom, this might be it after Judas plays. Once I start saying Judas, I think I might be able to go to the bathroom during this match. And I know that sounds bad, but, you know.
It really does. But the match that I know you won't be in the bathroom for is going to be Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega. What are you thinking? Who's winning it? And what do you see coming? And fuck you that I don't get to go.
Okay.
When are we going to actually go to one of these big shows together, bro? Like, I feel like every time we go to a big show, we're never there except for that one time at Money in the Bank. And that night ended up fucked up because my house got broke into. And then I broke my shoulder that day.
I don't know, man. Shit. Like I said, I'm surprised I'm able to go to this one, man. My life is about to get real crazy real soon. Well, it's already getting crazy, but it's about to get crazier. But
it'll be WrestleMania weekend.
Huh?
It'll be WrestleMania weekend.
I'm not going to Mania. But
did you get your ticket, sir? WrestleMania weekend, sir. No, I didn't. Not yet.
Okay. But
but I'll be sleeping on your couch either way.
It'll be ready for you, man. I think Hangman Page is gonna win, right? But I almost want them to draw this out a little bit more.
Hangman can't lose to him again, man.
And that's the thing, man. I think they're going to pull the trigger on it, but I think you can get a little bit more juice out of it, man. I think you can push it just a little bit further to add another layer to the story just to make it just that much better. But okay, I think
how do you see them being able to do that, though?
Oh, you know, shady shenanigans with Don Callis. He gets screwed out of the title again and have to work his way back up one more time and finally get the belt at Revolution or something like that. Just so that moment is just that much better, but I'm gonna be honest with you, I think the fans want it. I think they're gonna give them a title.
Yeah, I've said from jump, I think Hangman's the one to take the belt off of Kenny, and I think he could do it. And I mean, I feel like if you have him lose twice to him like that, then eventually at some point people are going to stop taking you as a world title threat. And I think with the promos that he's leading up to this and how mindset has changed, I feel like it's got to culminate with him beating Kenny for that title. That's kind of just how I see it going out. But I mean, even with that said, I mean, it looks like we're going to have another banger from AEW. Hopefully we're going to get a banger from GCW versus Horror Slam tonight, and then GCW Detroit. And on top of all these bangers that we're talking about, before I let you get out of here, I need you to answer something for me.
Wait, you getting ready to wrap up real quick?
Getting there. What you got?
All right, well, let me throw something else out about the Hangman and Kenny Omega match. Another reason why I think Hangman's going to win is because, well, the next Dynamite show is in Virginia, which is where he's from. So it's just perfectly, you know, laid out for him to have his homecoming, you know, hey, I'm the champion moment. But I alluded to something earlier. Part of the reason why I think Miro is going to beat Dragon is because they're going to need someone for Hangman to go against down the line. So you got to heat up some heels real quick, especially with that. I don't know if it's 100% official, but they're supposed to be having like a big one, with the new deal, they're supposed to have these special shows, I think, quarterly on TNT. And I think the first one's supposed to be early January. So you're going to need a big match for that show. And I think it's either going to be one of two people. I think it's either going to be Miro or it's going to be MJF. So you
MJF's need to definitely going to have that belt at some time.
Well, I'm not saying the heel's going to beat Hangman Adam Page, but you got to get a heel hot for that show. So that's why I think Miro beats Brian, and MJF wins too. So I think it's going to be one of those two going up against Hangman Adam Page in that special in January, and I think it'd be a great storyline too.
I'm with you on that, dude. I got no problem with that either. A lot of good shit going on, man. Like I said, GCW Detroit that's coming here. I'm excited for Full Gear. Probably going to link up with Cody and Charlie, who was our cameraman for the last Full Gear I was at.
Shout out, Charlie.
But that's not that. Go ahead. But yeah, man. Like, there's not going to be a stinker on that card. I'm excited to see it. I genuinely am excited to go watch it, and I'm kind of jealous that you're getting to go. But that's not all that we got going on. Before I let you out of here, who's going to win the UFC main event? Because I don't know about the rest of the card. The card's not as stacked, obviously, as last weekend. But you've got the fight that I'm looking forward to seeing, and I think everybody's looking forward to see. You got Max Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez off of almost over two-year layoff.
It's hard to go against Max, man. It's really hard to go against Max. Especially with, you know, a two-year layoff, man. I got to go with my man, Max.
Yeah, Hawaii, I mean, I would.
Hawaii stand up.
Yeah, I think Max Holloway is getting it and is going to be right back in the hunt of things with the title. Well, dude, this is why we need to have you come back on the show, because we've just been shooting the shit, and I look here at the clock, and we've literally almost went 2 hours, and we didn't even have, like, much on the paper. So,
Hey, man, you know, life is a crazy thing, man. You know, we'll see. We're working on it. I might hear something very, very soon. Not sure. But, yeah.
Everybody tweet GM and tell him to bring Devin back to Detroit, and then we can bring him back to Knockouts and Three Counts. But, dude, it was great to have you on the show. Ain't shit changed. You're always going to be one of the OGs of this show.
I'm one of the pillars, like, man. I'm like Jungle Boy out here.
I mean, hey, dude, that's a pretty big-ass pillar, and it's got to have a Kangol on it. But, yeah, dude, it was a good time. Make sure you're checking us out, because, you know, I haven't said anything about it yet. But this Tuesday, the Suplex Shogun, Jackson Stone, has some shit to say, which is why I'm headed to Horror Slam tonight to link up with Shogun and put some stuff together. But he is going to join us. Go ahead. Well. But yeah, we're going to kick it with Jackson Stone. And he's already proved Devin's point when it pertains to me, so we'll have to talk up a little bit about that too, because now he's training jiu-jitsu, and lo and behold, I might know who he's training with.
You know, so, everybody, man. You know everybody.
Dog. I really thought
you don't know them, you know somebody that knows them.
There you go. My mom's in the comments. She said, congrats on the little one. We appreciate you. Yeah, man. Aww, I'm starting to believe that's a thing. Just ask J-Bone, because some of the people dude, we went to Creepy Cheepy, and like one of the people we ran into, this girl's like, yeah, my friends were talking about your show or some shit. And I'm like, how the fuck do you guys know? So, you know what? We appreciate you guys. Sometimes it's a cool thing. You know, I'm not hard to find, but like I said, if you're at GCW versus Horror Slam tonight or GCW Detroit, look for your boys. And hey, I even got Corey's ass to come out to GCW for GCW Detroit. So if you are there at GCW Detroit, come fuck with your boys from Knockouts and Three Counts. But, dude, Oh, look at that. We got two new co-hosts on the way. You know, you got Jaden on the – we might have our first female host. Hi, damn. That's why you got to subscribe, man. Yeah, Miss Maya might be a co-host, and Jaden might be one as well. We appreciate you guys for checking us out. Kathy, thank you for the Twisted Tumblers. We appreciate it. And, yeah, Devin, bring your ass back to Detroit.
I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
Hell yeah. Until next time and in the in-between time, make sure you check us out so you can hear what we thought about it. Hell, maybe I can get Devin to come fuck with us a little bit on Tuesday since he's going to AEW Full Gear. Maybe we can get some on-site thoughts. But in order for you to see those thoughts, you got to hit that subscribe button or you're going to miss all of it. So, yeah, right where he's pointing, that bottom right-hand corner, hit that subscribe button. Until next time and in the in-between time, I'm off to go watch some motherfuckers bleed. So, Devin, I appreciate you, brother, man.
You too, man.
Hell yeah. Peace.
Peace.